Hello, beautiful people. Welcome back to another episode of Don't Tell Anyone. Except you are allowed to tell people. Just the right kind of people, though. Anyways, welcome back. I hope you're all doing well. Let's get a little housekeeping out of the way. One, if I sound stuffy, I'm so sorry. I'm trying not to get sick, but I might be, but I really hope I don't. I feel like a lot of people have been sick recently. If you've been sick, I'm sorry. Or if you're sick right now, get well soon. Two, please pardon the interim setup. Interim, I think that's the right word. The in-between setup of I'm still moving. I'm still resetting up the background. I'm obviously not filming on my regular setup, but we're gonna see how you guys feel about it. And just all of these little things. But actually, to me, I kind of like the casual and cozy vibe. Of course, I love deep dive episodes where I really get into the nitty gritty and research and do all of those things. But today, a little more cash. Hope you guys don't mind. And today, we have something so special. This is going to be our first ever voicemail advice episode, meaning I told you guys to call in. I posted on the Don't Tell Anyone Instagram. I dropped a little phone number and I said, leave me a voicemail. I'm going to download a few that I like and then we're going to read them aloud and hopefully just give you guys some advice. Or I really said advice or any questions you guys have for me or anything, just send it in. So we'll see what you guys said. I have not listened to these. I had someone help me choose some, so hopefully they are good. And yeah, I'm really excited to try something new. I mean, this whole damn podcast is new, so charting new territory. But before I begin, I obviously want to give a disclaimer. I'm not a therapist. I'm not a doctor. I am not licensed or trained to give any sort of professional advice. This is just homie advice, you know? All right. Here is the first voicemail.
Hi, Pokey. My name is Victoria, and my question is, how do you deal with anxiety, especially being in the public eye and having a lot of people looking at you? I wanted to know what your main remedy was for dealing with anxiety. Thanks. Love you. Bye.
Oh my God. Well, for starters, love you too. Okay. Anxiety. You said specifically in relation to having a lot of people see you. So let me approach this from a few different ways. Honestly, my favorite tip for anxiety in relation to others is just imagine everybody with their pants off. I'm kidding. That's really shit advice. And I don't know who came up with that or why that was so commonly spread. Like, imagine standing on a stage in front of 500 people and you imagine that everyone's naked. I would run away. Like, that's fucking weird. Who made that up? They must be a pervert. Anyways, besides the point, anxiety. I think for starters, it's important to kind of figure out for you what kind of anxiety you have. Because I think there's different kinds of anxieties. There are anxieties that we might develop because of something someone said or something that happened to us in the past. Like, if you did go up on stage once and really embarrass yourself, then you might get anxiety on stages in the future. And then there's kind of more of a general social anxiety or discomfort around other people. And then there's a bit more of like the kind of anxiety that is typically diagnosed, where you might generally feel anxious. And there's just also the sentiment of anxiety. Like, do you struggle with anxiety in general, or are you anxious about certain things? I think those are different things. And depending on what you experience, you're going to want to address it or go about it in a different way. Unfortunately, I cannot speak so much to like diagnosed anxiety. And I also don't think that I should if I don't have it or if I'm not trained to speak in it. But I have been anxious many, 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 many a times in my life. And so I'll tell you guys how I've dealt with that. For starters, when it comes to public speaking or things like that, that obviously everybody gets a little bit anxious about, or being in front of large crowds, things like that, two things. One, a really great mental trick that I try to do with myself is I will try to transform this sense of anxiety to a sentiment of excitement. Because frankly, those two sentiments are not very far apart. Anxiety and excitement sometimes often go hand in hand. Two, if I'm about to go on stage and I can feel, ooh, that little bit of anxiety, and it mounts and it mounts and it mounts, and you gotta go poo and pee and puke and all the things all the time, all together. I try to elongate my breath literally as long as I possibly can. You might start up here like, but what you want to do is with every breath, try even a little bit to elongate it. So from to even longer and longer and longer. And when you do that, before you know it, oh my God, you're all of a sudden going to feel calm because you are tapping into a physical state of being calm that will then transfer to a more mental state of being calm. Usually it's like our anxiety in our mind brings about anxiety in our body. But the best way to fix that is not to think about not being anxious because, you know, you thought your way into anxiety. You have to physically become calmer, typically by breathing or other things, but breath is the fastest, quickest, easiest way. And then your mind will become calmer too. So those are the two really big things that I recommend for like anxiety in regards to crowds or public speaking or things of the like. Anxiety maybe more in relation to people or putting yourself out there or online things. I wonder whether this is someone who's like, oh, I feel anxious about making content or streaming or this and that. I want to say there is an amount of that that you can hopefully and likely push past. But I do also want to say, like, really putting yourself out there is not for everyone, and that's okay. Like, you can do your best to become more comfortable in those scenarios, but make sure it's something that you really want and that you really want for good reason. Sometimes it's easier to find hobbies or career paths that accommodate the kind of person you are versus you trying to completely change who you are in order to become a streamer. Because to be honest, most streamers are people who are pretty extroverted, or they like attention, or they're very, you know, like that's just how we kind of naturally are. And I do think some people who are introverted end up still garnering a lot of success. And then because they want to keep gaming or keep streaming, they have to get used to that a little bit. But if you're not in a situation where you have to change that part of yourself, you know, to some extent, you can also accept it. But if there's any advice that I can give in regards to that, it's probably not to get so lost in the negatives or not to overthink it. The great thing about, let's say, content creation or streaming is that in a way you can do it alone. For me, for example, my whole streaming career, I've never had the view count on. And if that's something that might make you anxious, don't do it. Just keep your chat open and talk to people. And if it helps you to pretend that it's just like 3 or 5 people, then that's good. Or if you're worried about putting yourself out there in terms of content, instead just view yourself as, oh, I am recording something on my own. I'm filming something, just me and my camera. And then if you put it out there, that's a completely different process, you know? But in the moment, just do what you want. Okay, I think I yapped maybe too much. Not me having a podcast and being nervous about talking too much. All good. All right. Let's do the next one. I'm going to try to answer the next ones faster. Because I really do be talking a lot. Okay.
Hi, Pokey. My name is Carlos. And I just have one quick question. My question is, what is your biggest failure? And what did you learn from it? I'll be loving the podcast. And hopefully I get featured.
Well, you got featured. Congrats. Thank you. What's my biggest failure? I mean, for starters, it might be interesting to note that I don't have something off the top of my mind. Like, I know past failures of mine, but I don't sit there and think, which was the biggest one? And you know what? Maybe that's just gonna be my answer. I don't think it matters what your biggest failure is. You're gonna fail in life. You shouldn't even know what your biggest failure is because you shouldn't be that focused on them. If you fail, you learn from it and then you move on. And it's less of a failure and it's more of a learning lesson. I'm so good at coping, bro. Like, this is really how you need to view life. I feel like sometimes I can tell by the way people talk and go about things that, like, there's a lot of negativity up here and I don't want that for you, babes. A failure is not a failure. It's a stepping stone to the right thing. Okay, period. That's my answer. I don't even want to sit here and think about failures. That's not fun. All right. Next one.
Hi, Pokey. First off, I love you so much. I've been following you so much.
I love you more. Anyway,
but I'm at a bit of a stitch. I recently just kind of broke up with my boyfriend of, like, a couple months, honestly. We've only been dating since October, and we met in, like, March. And I recently just broke up with him because we're not a good match, and we both discussed that, and we see that we're not good long-term. And also I'm moving states, so that's also another huge issue. But anyway, so the problem is that we still fuck all the time. Sorry for the language. Is that an issue? Like, is that bad? Should we not do that? Because we have so much physical chemistry, but, like,
I already knew it was coming. I already knew.
Not emotionally the right one for me, you know? But, like, I'm only here for a couple more, like, a month more. I don't know. Is it just having fun or am I complicating things? Let me know.
So I want cute.
To figure out. love you. Thank you. I'll be listening to your podcast either way. Okay, bye.
That was the cutest, funniest message I've ever freaking got in my life. For starters, we already knew. We already knew what was coming. It's you guys. Sorry. Okay. Let's reel it back. Listen, I'm going to give you two different answers. I'm going to give you my PR answer, and I'm going to give you my honest answer. I'm going to give you my friend-to-friend answer, okay? My PR answer is this is emotionally complicating things and it potentially might make it harder to move past things and it probably would be the best thing to not do, blah, 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 okay? But the real response, honestly, bitch, if I was you, you know, you're only here for a couple weeks, a couple months, whatever, like, enjoy while you can. Okay. Let me give you the in-between. The reasonable. Like the devil and the angel come together and they talk. Okay. Genuinely, if I was you, I would have a talk with him that, like, clearly sets boundaries and is like, hey, no strings attached. Are we cool? And if you do partake, just make sure you leave it at just partaking. And maybe some kind of friendly stuff, but avoid romantic as much as you can, because I think the romance is really what might trip you up when you leave. And when you move elsewhere, that's the heartbreaking part. Losing, like, a friends with benefits, you'll live, okay? So just make sure you're ready. But honestly, by the way you talk about it, like, I feel like you're gonna be fine. I feel like you're gonna be fine as long as you draw that boundary. And sometimes I feel like when it comes to physical and sometimes even emotional connection, it's like you just need to let it play out, fizzle out, and die. Even if I were to sit here and tell you, girl, don't do it, you're still gonna do it. You know? So instead, I'm going to tell you, do it, but set those boundaries and tell him, hey, let's at least cut the romance and keep it quick. Keep a business only, you know? And I think at least setting that boundary between you two and then therefore in your mind, once you do move or whatever happens, it'll be much easier to just move past it. Wish you the best of luck, girly pop.
Hello, this is Alan. I just had a question about, like, how do I get more, how do I get confidence to, like, just go, like, to talk to, like, any girl? Because I usually just tend to get shy and then I get really nervous and then I don't make enough, just, like, I don't know how to...
Well, he didn't even know how to finish that sentence. That's crazy. He got shy with me over voicemail. That's cute. That's cute. I won't even lie. That's cute. Okay. Confidence with girls. For starters, I want to preface by saying, me personally, I think shy guys are cute. Aw, like the little guys in Mario. But also shy guys like men, boys, things, whatever. So... try not to feel so bad about yourself being shy, because I think the right person will actually find that attractive in some ways. I also think it is far better to be shy than to be mean or to say the wrong thing or to whatever, whatever, right? And so in that same breath, I want to say you don't need to, like, you don't need to become someone you're not. You don't need to crazy experiment. I think you should just try safe and small things, okay? And what I mean by that is, in general, I think it's best to say a little, but say good things, than to say a lot, but then mess up or be confused or say the wrong thing or whatever, whatever, okay? So shyness isn't bad, but if you wanna obviously become more confident, here's the rest of my advice. One, even if the purpose, the ultimate goal, is to find a romantic partner, I still think that the best way to go about that is still to figure out how to be a good friend to a girl. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's not about Riz. It's not about this. It's not about that. Step one is, how do I treat women with respect, make them happy, and just be a good friend? And I know a lot of you guys might be like, that's not true, man. I got a Riz. I got to say the right pickup line. Boring. Girls don't want fucking pickup lines. I mean, maybe if it's nice, but not like the classic pickup lines of, did you fall from heaven? Because you got a dent in your head. Yeah, that's not what we're looking for. If anything, to me personally, and I think a lot of girls are going to agree, it's really hot when a guy just treats you well and is sometimes not so obvious about being interested. They're just showing you, I'm a solid dude, okay? I say nice things. I do a nice thing, and I'm not trying to be a nice guy. I'm just decent, and I'm gonna be decent to you, and I'm gonna be decent to that guy, and I'm gonna be decent to your friend. And maybe when they treat you a little bit extra nice, then we'll, you know? But it's almost like this sense of curiosity and mystery and whatnot. And so ultimately, I say this because I want you to approach this endeavor of becoming more confident with girls through the lens of wanting to learn how to make sure that a girl that you're interacting with is having a good time. And these things are typically not bound in terms of, like, rizzing them up, hitting on them, or anything sexually related. Okay, step one does not involve those things whatsoever. It's just, how do I interact with the other gender in a way that does, that, I was going to say, that rubs them the right way. Okay, but that's not what I meant. You know how people say, like, don't rub me the wrong way? But then what's the opposite of that? Rubbing them the right way? But then that sounds sexual. You get what I mean, though. How can I interact with someone of the opposite gender in a way that is exciting and positive and whatever, okay? That is the goal and that is the skill you want to learn. And honestly, if you're good at talking with guys, you're already halfway there because guys are people too. So I hope in terms of philosophy, that makes sense. You might hear me give this advice for other things, but frankly, I still think talking to people online is a great way to practice this because becoming less socially anxious or becoming better at talking to girls, these things can be really hard to do in person. It's hard to find the right environment. It's hard to find the right person. And the consequences can feel more intense. And online, it's just a bit easier. Like if someone doesn't like what you said, they won't reply. Or if it doesn't go well, you exit the chat, you know? So whether it's online or via or via dating apps or apps where you can talk with and make friends, this will allow you to like test how to have a smooth conversation with someone else. And I think my last piece of advice is going to be if there's anyone in life that you think is like a really decent person and perhaps has a girlfriend or you admire in these aspects, mind you, please don't choose a fuckboy, okay? A fuckboy might be able to sleep with a lot of girls. That doesn't mean he can have a healthy relationship with any of them. That doesn't even necessarily mean that he is good with girls in the way of making them happy. Maybe he can just get them intrigued enough to want to sleep with them and then overall isn't treating them that well. Okay, so please don't pick someone like that. Pick someone who you're like, oh, I think this is a good person and I think they're better at this thing than me. And honestly, ask them for help. If you're close enough to do that, I think they would find that really flattering and I think they'd be open to it. And it might even be cute. Like imagine you and your friend, you know, looking at the dating app and he's like, okay, yeah, swipe on her. You know, maybe say this. Oh, she responded this way. Well, usually I would say XYZ. And this might sound silly or stupid, but I think with good intentions, it just winds up being like you learning from them and them kind of handholding you through these things. I think that's really cute. Obviously, if you guys are being nice and not disrespecting anyone, I think there's no harm in that kind of thing. All right, next question.
Hey, Pookie. It's me, Jean. How would you, like, stop being friends with someone, like, so suddenly? Like, how do you drop, you know, like, drop them, like, because you don't want to be friends with them anymore?
Here's some real ass advice, okay? How you drop someone, especially a friend, I actually don't think you do it quickly, and I don't think you do it harshly. Let me tell you why. Typically, I'm the kind of person, I'm very confrontational, I'm straight to the point. If I don't like something, I'm gonna tell you. If I don't wanna talk to you, if I don't wanna be around you, I'm probably gonna tell you. But what I've learned in life and the wisdom that I would like to bestow upon you all is, hear me out. Logically, if someone was shitty enough that you want to drop them, it's probably not easy to have that kind of conversation with them. It's probably not easy to tell them like, hey, I don't want to be around you. They might gossip, they might make a big deal out of it, they might react harshly, they might cause drama with other people. So with really shit people, you need to handle it delicately. And I know you probably don't want them in your life at all right away, but actually the best thing for you is to do it slowly and in a way that doesn't aggravate them or piss them off. And almost in a way that they can't catch on to. That's the real smart thing to do. And frankly, the thing that I wish I did in a lot of instances. But I've learned now a little bit. So yes, my best piece of advice is to drop them slowly. You know, start slowly taking a bit longer to get back to them. Maybe you're like, oh, I'm busy when they ask to hang out. Maybe every now and then, like in a group setting, you'll still hang out with them because, oh, then they know, like, you're not avoiding them. You don't have a huge problem with them. But if you need to set that boundary and that distance with them, do it. But if they're fucking kooky crazy beans, you don't need to tell them. They don't deserve your justification, okay? I think there are some people who might be understanding and you can tell them and you just end the friendship that way. But I think most people that we want to get away from, we want to get away from them for a reason. So do it in a way that is best for you, not best for them. They probably fucked you over and don't deserve it. Period. That was maybe kind of harsh. I'm sorry if that's harsh. Maybe I'm just speaking from personal experience. Take of that what you will. Oh my God, guys, there's so many. We're at the 30-minute mark. I think it'll be okay.
Hi, Pokey. It's Evie. I was just wondering what advice you would have to share to young women who want to become streamers like you. Thanks.
The advice that I have for women who want to become streamers is don't. No, I'm kidding. Okay. For real. Don't. Don't if you are faint of heart. Don't if you don't want to deal with some weird ass shit, okay? But if you do want to do it, then fucking do it and don't let anything hold you back. Straight up. Don't let any random motherfuckers, don't let any weirdos, don't let any annoying people in your chat trying to call you whatever the heck they want to call. Don't let any of them hold you back. And why? Because why shouldn't you be a streamer? Why shouldn't you play video games? Why should... Right? It's almost stupid, in a way, that people have such issue with it. Well, that's really my advice. You need to do it with such certainty and not let anything hold you back. Do it when you want, and if you ever don't want to, then don't. If you're unsure about it, if you are more excited by the potential outcomes of being a streamer, i.e. followers or money or this or that, you're probably not going to put in enough effort to get that outcome because it's just not that easy. You need to freaking love streaming, love talking to people about games, love all of this stuff. You need to love the juice, the craft in order to get anywhere. So that's my small piece of advice. To be honest, I have much, much, much more advice, but I would need to do a whole episode on that. And you know what? Maybe I will. Let me know.
Hey, my name's Javi. What do I do if I can't get over my ex? Even though I know she was bad for me. Bye, Sookie.
Bye.
I love you. Keep up the great work.
Okay. Getting over your ex, there's a few things. Number one, and this is not for shits and gigs. I am so serious about this piece of advice. If you want to get over your ex, make a list of things you hated about them. Straight up. Start talking shit in that goddamn journal. I'm not kidding. Write it out. Be like, I hated his big left toe. I hated how he'd never compliment me. I hated... how stinky he was all the time. He didn't brush his teeth enough. Okay? Literally write everything you didn't like about them. And read that every time you think of them. And then here's part two. Make a list of your dream person. Okay? Smells good. Compliments you all the time. Doesn't have a big left toe. Right? And envision it. Envision it. Envision it. Dream about it. Heck, start pretending like this person exists and is out there in the world and they're waiting for you. Guys, I can't tell if I am crazy or just insanely good at like envisioning what I want, but this has gotten me through some of the biggest heartbreaks of my life. I would legit just start fantasizing about someone that I didn't even know existed yet, and then boom, they low-key kind of show up in my life. And I would start falling in love with this person who doesn't even exist yet. But that idea is so much better than thinking about my shitty freaking ex with a big left toe. You know? That is my first piece of advice. My second is honestly, when you're going through a breakup, it's good to just accept breakups are ass. And they are meant to be ass. It is never, ever going to be fun to go through the process of getting really close with someone and then that falling apart. Like, of course that's going to hurt. Of course, everything you're going through is normal. And sometimes just accepting that makes it hurt a little bit less. There is this idea, I think it's like the second arrow theory or something, but essentially it's like, imagine you're hit with one arrow and it really hurts. Well, if you start thinking about, oh my God, I got hit with an arrow and it's so terrible and I'm going, man, it hurts so much. It's almost like you're stabbing yourself with a second arrow, okay? You already got one arrow in you, don't put another one. Don't start overthinking the fact that you're going through a breakup and it hurts. It's supposed to hurt. It's like if I had COVID and I was getting mad at myself for having a runny nose. You got COVID. That's meant to happen. Not the COVID part, but the runny nose when you're sick, okay? So that is very, very normal. Don't be down on yourself on it. And my last, two more things. One, because of what I just said, distract yourself plenty. If you need to freaking go on a scrolling binge on TikTok, do it. Find a show that distracts you, takes your mind off of it completely. Hang out with your friends as much as you can. And when you're ready, start meeting other people. Because nothing will help you get over someone as fast as getting under someone else. You didn't hear it from me, though. Last but not least, I was just telling my friend this because she's going through a breakup. And I love her very much if she ever listens to this. I introduced her to this practice called noting, okay? And what it is let's say you're, you know, when you're going through a breakup, like you're thinking about that every day, day and night. The lonely loner seems to be friends. Anyways, you're thinking about it all the time and you're sad and you're anxious and whatever, whatever. Let's say you then go on TikTok. You see a funny TikTok. It's a minute and a half long. You start laughing. You forget about the breakup for a split second. Okay, you know that moment of almost like relief, like, whoa, I forgot about it. Note that moment. Like sit there and really think about it and be like, wait, I stopped thinking about it for a moment. Almost like meditate on that fact. Ingrain it in your mind. Because when you do that, it's almost like you're solidifying this idea in your mind of, oh, I don't need to be anxious all the time. Wait, this is something that's going to pass. Because if it was able to pass for a split second, 3 seconds, a minute and a half, that means that at some point it's going to fully go away. That has helped me so much to get past that like constant state of anxiety when I've had it before. So I hope it helps you. Yippee! Next.
Hi, Pokey. This is Matt. I want to know if you think honesty, is it always the best policy? Do you appreciate white lies or total truth? All right, bye.
Bye. Why am I saying bye like I'm actually talking to you on the phone? Hello? Okay. I used to be a very honesty is the best policy kind of gal. But as you get older, you understand why your parents told you all those things about Santa, you know? Like, they just didn't want to break your heart at that time. It's almost like there's a right time to break someone's heart and there's a wrong time to break someone's heart. But I think ultimately my answer is not going to be that honesty is always the best policy or that white lies are always okay. It's more so that I think it's good to be strategic about when you are being honest, one. Two, I think you should not lie. But three, I think that there is always a better way of delivering something than just being flat out blunt or mean, you know, honest to a point of being mean. I don't think that is always necessary or almost ever necessary. I think sometimes it's easier and sometimes you just gotta let it out, right? But ultimately, I think that in the moments where you really do need to be honest, you can go about it properly and better, okay? That's my almost like fence-sitting answer, but you kind of get it. You get it. It's about the way that you're honest, not whether or not you're honest or lying. You don't need to lie.
Hi, this is Layla, and hi, Layla. My question for you is, do you ever deal with imposter syndrome? And by that, I mean when you're, let's say, streaming or creating content or out with your friends, do you ever feel like you have to act a certain way to present yourself in a way you feel more comfortable versus how you act on your own? I, for one, feel that I have to be a little more outgoing when I go out, like with my friends and everything, versus when I'm by myself, I act a little more shy and reserved. I was just wondering if you felt the same way and how do you deal with it? Thanks.
So cute. I want to start off by saying I feel like there are maybe then two types of imposter syndrome. I think there's one kind of imposter syndrome where people feel like they don't deserve what they have. And that is something that I'm down to talk about sometime. But for right now, I'm going to answer what she referred to specifically, which is more so like, oh, I'm almost like in a certain environment with certain people, so I need to behave this way. Right? And I think that's something that probably everybody can relate to. Honestly, I think even sometimes for me, for example, whether it's like an industry party or an event or whatnot, sometimes I don't feel like being Pokimane. And what I mean by that is if I know that I'm going to come across someone who's going to be like, oh my God, Poki, like, you know, I'm a fan or I like this or I like that. I know that the person that I want to be to them, not to say that it's not me, but I want to be like just as excited to meet them. I want to be happy. I want to be in a mood to talk. I want to give them an interaction that I feel that they deserve and one that almost like rings true to what they expect as well, while obviously still being myself. And to be honest with you, sometimes I'm in a shit mode. Am I going to take that out on a fan that comes up to me? No. Instead, typically on those days, I'm like, I'm not going to put myself in a situation where I might come across someone who will want to have that kind of interaction with me, if that makes sense. I think in regards to feeling that way with friends or in certain environments, I think you should maybe reflect on why that's the case. Is it because you feel like your friends wouldn't entirely accept you just as you are? Is it because, I mean, if that's the case, maybe rethink those friendships. Is it because you are maybe not fully confident in how you want to present yourself? I think that is probably a common answer, and that is very understandable. And so I think sometimes, because we're not, like, we don't know how to present who we truly are, it is easier to almost, like, pretend to be someone else, right? But instead, I want to encourage you to almost find, like, that middle ground between almost, like, these two versions of you. The extroverted, oh, this is who I need to be in front of other people, which is sometimes a little bit too high up. And maybe who you really are, which maybe you feel is a little too low or you're not entirely confident in how to speak as that person. I can actually really relate to that. I think when I feel the most imposter syndrome, similar to what you said, is maybe when I'm streaming and I feel like I'm saying or doing things out of a reaction towards someone else. And sometimes that reaction can be really negative or bad, but sometimes that reaction might actually be to like act more surprised. For example, in your case where you're like, oh, I feel like I need to be more extroverted. That might be a reaction to your environment. And so instead it's about like, oh, how can I find this middle ground that I feel is really me? And to be honest, that just takes a lot of practice. Some things I would suggest are trying to speak a bit slower, you know, and just see how that goes and be a bit more mindful with what you say. And if you feel like being like super extroverted and super out there isn't really you, instead, like show that excitement on your face and maybe think more about the things that you want to say. You know, it's just about making these micro adjustments that are closer to who you really are or who you want to be, versus feeling like you need to embody someone completely different in order to be accepted. I hope that kind of helps. Oh, I would love to recommend, there's someone on YouTube and I think maybe TikTok who is great with this kind of thing of speaking in a way that's a bit more you, like learning how to do that. Her channel is called New Views with Ariel New N-I-U. New Views with Ariel N-I-U. I recommend her channel. I really like it.
Hey, my name is Lexi, and I have a question about what you think about porn.
Oh.
And what porn does to today's society and to all the kids and porn addiction and relationships, because my current boyfriend has a really bad porn addiction, like to the point where he's editing like a lot of girls and porn videos and stuff, all of that. So yeah, I just wanted to see what you guys think about that. If I should, like, how do I bring it up to him, like I don't want him to watch it, or do I even say anything like that, you know? Yeah. Well, anyways, love you, Pokey. Bye.
Love you too. Did she say he's editing girls in porn videos? I couldn't hear because of the audio quality. Did she say, I hope not. If your boyfriend is editing girls into inappropriate content, send him to the police. Jesus. I am going to continue this question, assuming that that's not what she said, okay? How your partner engages with porn is entirely something that you should be comfortable with. If you specify that there are things that make you uncomfortable and they're not okay with that, or they don't want to listen to what you're saying, or they're making you feel bad about it, it's not the relationship for you. And I promise you, if he's not willing to respect that, there are going to be other and potentially worse things that they are also not willing to respect. Oh, wow. I have so many thoughts about this topic in particular. It was actually one of the topics that I initially planned out for my first 8 episodes, but I got a little bit shy. I wanted to do a whole topic on porn consumption in and out of relationships and just porn addiction in general. I think that porn is something that can be consumed in moderation and in a healthy way. But I also think that there are so many cases and examples where people have bad relationships with porn consumption, and many, many ways in which this can spill over into a relationship in a way that is toxic or unhealthy or just not good, okay? But ultimately, to this sweet girl, I think Lexi, ultimately to you, it's just really important for you to feel safe and comfortable discussing any sex-related topics and conversations with your partner. And even if it's his, like, relationship and how he engages with that content, it does still relate to you and your relationship as a whole. And if when you bring these things up, they are responding in a very negative or mean way, unfortunately, I think that's a massive red flag. And I also want you to be careful because, you know, I don't ever want this person to become toxic towards you. So please be careful, but just take his reaction as a very telltale sign, okay? I think I'll just end by saying that if they do have an unhealthy relationship with porn, if they are willing to accept that and they are on the same page as you in regards to that and they're willing to work on it, then I think that's a good sign, you know? I can imagine someone really struggling with that and being in a place where they want to work on it, but I can imagine someone who's just like, no, fuck you, I'm going to do what I want, and it's stupid that you even care, and it's none of your business anyways, and that kind of person, cut. Genuinely, cut. Like, not worth anyone's time. My personal opinion. I feel like I've seen a lot of this shit. I've seen a lot of people who are like that, and it is a very, very bad mental place to be in, and I think it makes them a worse human being overall. And I think you should just really be careful with those folks. Thank you very much. All right, let's do one last.
Hi, my name is Alejandro. And my question to you is, out of anyone that you can think of, who do you owe your success to the most? Or who do you thing helped you the most along the way? Thank you. Have a good one.
You know what's funny? I'm going to tell you exactly who came to my mind. Okay? In this order. You said, who do you owe your success to? I thought, my mom. She birthed me. And then the second person I thought of was me, bitch. I did the thing. But then third, fourth, fifth, etc. Genuinely, all of my content creator friends around me, 100%, 110%. I think they helped me a lot. That's not to discredit what I did. I don't like the idea of owing your success to anyone. There are people who can help you get certain opportunities and can help you get along in a career, but ultimately it's up to you to do the thing or not do the thing. So your success should be owed to yourself primarily, but of course it's important and good to thank people and be grateful for those who helped you. Because, for example, especially in my hardest times, the people who stuck by me, like the friends who really helped me the most, I think a few that I should for sure name off the top of my head, obviously OTV, Janet, Celine. Funnily enough, Miss Kiff has always really been there for me. Like, these people and so many more, I could not name them all, but especially other streamer friends helped me a ton, and many, many, many others. Oh, that's not even to mention, I will say, a career like mine, any large endeavor or large career, it takes a village. There are so many people that are part of my team that are not public facing that have helped me so much. Huge example, my career agent, Hannah, love her so much, or Hanako, she's incredible. Unfortunately, not my current agent, because, you know, she's taking a bit of a break. Love my new agent, too. He's so incredible. My manager, my assistants, my past managers, my editors, my moderators. There's so many, so, so many, okay? That's my answer. All right. Thank you guys so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed. I actually thought, I thought we could get through so many more questions, but I had such a great time doing this, and we're already almost at the hour mark. Obviously, we're going to trim it to be a little bit less, but wow, this was really, 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 really fun. I think I'm going to do an IG story or post just asking you guys if you enjoyed this as much as I did, because wow, I love these kind of episodes. I feel like I could do them every damn week. I love talking about stuff, and I love that it feels like really interactive and I get to hear from you guys and help you with like specific things that you might be struggling with. That was so fun and fulfilling. I hope you guys enjoyed it too. Oh, if you want to do me a favor, please, please hit the follow button on the podcast. It is the best way to support me and this new endeavor, and it's absolutely free. It'll just help you get notified on Spotify or anywhere else when new episodes are out. That would really mean a lot. And if you enjoy it, obviously give it a rating. I think it's like the three little dots in the top right. and you can give it a rating if you've listened to enough episodes. It just means a lot. Obviously, like, I don't really know how the podcasting stuff works. I'm so used to seeing a chat and getting like that instant feedback. So now that I can't do that, the best way that I can see that is by you guys following or rating it. And I do appreciate that a ton. Take care, and I'll see you in the next one. Bye.